Good afternoon. We've heard about the widespread outrage over the Sound Transit's MVET calculation. Sound Transit is relying on a repealed provision from 1996 to calculate the MVET for ST3. That violates Article 2, Section 37 of the state constitution. The bill in question in 2015 that created the financing structure for connecting Washington package and ST3. It set forth the provision referenced without actually setting out the actual provision that that was required to by the Constitution. Instead, it just set forth a chapter. That's really important here, and I know this is technical, but it's really important here when you're drafting properly so that legislatures can understand what it is that they are enacting. The Constitution requires that you set forth specifically each section that the bill plans to amend or reference. You can't just simply reference a chapter heading. And why that was critical here is the chapter heading that this bill referenced contained the schedule, the MVET schedule, for ST2. ST2, its schedule was the one that was based upon the vehicle's age, the more reasonable calculation. So the reasonable lawmaker would look at that reference in the bill and conclude that Sound Transit 3 was going to be basing its calculation on Sound Transit 2's schedule. But without setting forth the provision, it was relying on a repealed 1996 schedule without setting forth that schedule in the Act. And the Constitution demands that if you're going to rely on or reference a particular provision, certainly a repeal provision, you've got to set that forth in its completeness. Otherwise, you're going to create confusion and even deception as to what ultimately the law is trying to do here. And that's exactly what happened. Instead of Sound Transit relying upon the ST2 MVET schedule, they relied upon a repealed one from 1996 that no lawmaker in 2015 could have figured out was the basis for ST3's MVET calculation. And we've now all learned for the first time what that calculation is, what it's based upon, as they've issued these exorbitant, outrageous taxes that are three times the value of some vehicles.
So what we've done is Senator Oban and I have sent a letter to the Attorney General, and we firmly believe that the way they're calculated, the way this is put into place is unconstitutional. But we're asking the question of the Attorney General to help us and to give us some advice on this. And so that letter was delivered today. Mm-hmm. And if he is not comfortable doing that, we'll provide some outside counsel. It's pretty clear what they refer back to in the 1996, this was written actually by Sound Transit lawyers, is what I understand, and it was given to the legislature. And that ended up in the legislation for the package that came out of here. Now, as you would know, that you'd have to actually have access to that repealed legislation from 1996 somehow to really understand what they meant. The bottom line in the end is that it looks like a very disingenuous effort. And on top of that, the people now are starting to get their car tabs and are starting to feel the pain. And that's what this comes down to. Normally what they're going to say, well, what about Sound Transit? I'm not here to protect government. I'm here to protect the taxpayers and the people I represent. And that's exactly why we've come forward with this.
So Sound Transit could and should have based their new tax on the car tabs on the one that they've been using for a number of years, what Sound Transit 2 was based upon. That's what we would urge them to do. If it requires a new enactment from this body, I'd be the first to change that so that these car tab taxes can be based upon reason, upon what's fair, not upon a repealed schedule that was repealed because at the time we all understood it was unfair. We all understood that you should base that tab on the age of the car, not some inflated manufacturer's suggested retail price.
So we've sponsored a piece of legislation that actually addresses that as well, which is which would calculate versus based on this manufactured suggested retail price, which no one ever pays, would be based upon Kelley Blue Book or the National Auto Dealers Association, whichever is lower, and it would be more reasonable. And I think this is one of the reasons why in 99 the $30 car tabs got so much steam, is because people were so upset that the calculation of the value of their car wasn't real, and that everybody would have sold their car to the state for what the state said it was worth. And so this is part of the dishonesty that I see that's coming from Sound Transit.
The way the bill that you guys passed in 2015, starting when those bonds are retired in 2028, they would switch, the way it's written, they would switch to the valuation system that you seem to prefer. So you're talking about 11 years between now and then that these tabs would be using, right? So you're just basically saying don't wait 11 years, move it up.
Yeah, moving up now, absolutely.
Okay. There's a dollar and cents value if you do that. So you're not concerned that projects will be caught, if they lose a stream of revenue, the impact of that?
I'm concerned that Sound Transit do this right and be fair about their way they're doing this and be honest and straightforward about their way they're doing this. That's my concern. If they have to go back and recalculate things and move money around to make it happen, fine. But if they want the confidence of the public, which they need to restore that confidence.
What are you guys prepared to do, though, to help them out if they come to you with a solution that requires, for example, they sold bonds under SB3? How far can the legislature go to assist in speeding this up?
I can handle that. Sure. The Sound Transit has never been on time and on budget. So what Sound Transit always does is they actually adjust their budget and adjust the time frame. And so that's exactly what they'll do again. And so that the reality is that for Sound Transit 2, they were, 10 years behind on their university link. And they were... almost 80-something percent higher than what they told the public it was going to cost. So what they did is they adjusted it and then told the public for Sound Transit 3 we're on three that we're on time and on budget.
So we expect them to do that, so don't worry. That's what our PIP.
They will adjust. Like I said, I'm not here to protect government.
That did vote for it.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones getting the car tab valuations that we're receiving calls from right now.
So that's the trade-off. You'll get lower car tab fees now, but you'll have to wait longer potentially for what you voted for. Not the ones you voted against, just the ones you voted for.
Well, it's everybody. Right. Not just, we don't segment people from people who voted for or against. I represent everybody who, this time I'm appointed, but, if I were elected, I represent everybody in the district.
No, I understand. I'm saying people in Everett who are waiting in 2030, what you're saying is it might be 2035. You may have to
By Sound Transit's record, it might be 2050 already.
Let's remember, they have $54 billion to spend. My hunch is, with $54 billion, they can make the necessary adjustments to adopt an MVET schedule that's fair, reasonable, that will regain the trust and confidence of the taxpayers, and still get their projects done, and probably done according to their schedule, we hope.
You have more faith than I do.
Any other questions?
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.